Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Paul Revere's lantern lighter is lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
We are under attack. I know Joan Rivers has passed on, and the job market tanked in August, and that a new poll shows Obama down to 38%, which, interestingly, the MSM could never stop talking about when it happened to Bush, but seems unable to find any interest in the matter when it happens to Barack. And I know Lerner has been caught in more lies and conspiracy to defraud American conservatives, and that Kerry is the new spokesman for Islam, telling us that the, quote, real face of Islam is a peaceful religion based on the dignity of all human beings, end quote. Interesting, because we can't find a single imam anywhere who will step up and condemn the killing of Christians by ISIS, and not a peep from the Muslim community, so far as I can hear it, and their silence is deafening. It's deafening our ears to these pleas of Kerry and Obama on their behalf. Sorry, Islam, it's time to speak up. Of course, let Phil Roberts offer his policy recommendation with regard to dealing with Islamofascists, and who said we should, quote, convert them or kill them, end quote. And everyone goes apoplectic, including the Christianettes, fuming about Roberts and being a radical promoting a virtual Christian jihad against all Muslims. But that's ridiculous and takes his comments entirely out of context. Let's provide some context, shall we? This from Liberty News. Abdullah is an Arab Christian. Yes, there are many Arabs who are Christians. Many are nominal Christians, that is, they identify as Christian, although they're not born-again Christians. Nevertheless, they identify as Christians as opposed to, say, Muslim. And Abdullah lives in Iraq. And he went home one day. Well, let's let him tell it. Quote, I went to my house and saw that my family was shot to death, all in their heads. I had no idea what I would do. I can't explain what I saw. Before the jihadists killed people in my village, they did very bad things with our young girls and women. I did not know what to do, where to go, because it was difficult for me to forget all that I had seen. So I went to the mountains to hang myself in a tree. Suddenly, one of your leaders, and he's speaking here of an organization called RUN, operating in Iraq, ministering support and assistance to persecuted Christians there, and he said, suddenly, one of your leaders came and saved me and have brought me to the Community of Hope refugee camp. I met with hundreds of people in the camp, and their stories are more painful than mine. I asked God to give me a long life. I want to serve here in this camp. So today, I'm happy to serve my dear Jesus followers in this refugee camp. End quote. So Phil Robertson has a strategy, and Obama has none. How long do you suppose Obama would sit on his hands without a strategy to respond if a black kid got shot by a white officer? Especially if the black kid was a gangbanger who just robbed a convenience store and assaulted the police officer. Phil's strategy? Look, you're dealing with people whose policy is convert or die, right? That's their mantra. There's only one strategy effective against such people, wouldn't you think? They need to abandon their religious conviction, motivating them to kill Christians, or they need to be killed. Essentially, Phil is saying, if they become Christians, leave them alone. If they continue to kill Christians in the name of Islam, they need to be killed. Well, that's what he's saying. And I think I understand Phil's statement. But of course, no one who converts to Christianity in order to avoid being killed has actually become a Christian. But what do you Muslims think about this? And this is the point I'm going to. How about if Christians did decide to adopt that policy, the policy of that religion? Kind of scary, huh? How about we Christians sit back when you finally provoke a sort of crusade-style response to this nonsense? Folks, I hope you're paying attention to me here and you're thinking below the surface of what I'm saying and trying to, you know, kind of get my point here. What you see ISIS doing right now is exactly the sort of thing that led to the Crusades. Oh, yeah. That's the dirty little secret you never hear about with regard to the Crusades. It was the Christian response to the outrageous brutality of Islamic warriors against Christians. Hey, maybe it's time for a crusade. It's coming. The Prime Minister of Britain, David Cameron, recently declared he wished to see Britain quit placating Sharia in Britain and start asserting with confidence and pride the Christian heritage of their country, and to be unashamed of their Christian identity among the nations. This is the Prime Minister of Britain. He wants a more muscular defense of Britain's Christian values and to stop acting as though they are ashamed of being a Christian nation. Wow, he's coming right out and saying that in public. I mean, that's interesting talk. And add to that the context in which he's making these pronouncements. And they are in the context of dealing with radical jihad-headed Islamists. You know, actually, Phil Roberts just sort of summarized what the Prime Minister of Britain is saying. In effect, the only adequate response to radical Islam's rampage in Iraq, where they're murdering, raping, crucifying Christians, beheading the children, is a Christian response. They need to hear the gospel of the cross of Christ, indeed, and forsake the brutal desert god Allah and bow their knee to Jesus Christ as Lord. They really do need to do that. Or face the wrath of God, taking up his sword and executing the vengeance he has called for against evildoers. Now, the caveat here, however, that I want to lay down is that I'm not talking about making them Christians by pointing a sword at them. They can only become Christians if they repent and believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, receiving the atonement he made on the cross as the full payment for their sins. And what I am talking about is the fact that Jesus Christ is King of the earth and of heaven, Matthew 28:18, and he will judge the nations based on how those nations have treated or will treat his sheep, Matthew 25. And King Jesus told Israel, you know, he was going to take the kingdom away from them and give it to another nation, bringing forth the fruit of that kingdom, Matthew 21:43. Jesus Christ is king of his kingdom, and his kingdom is, of course, a Christian kingdom, as Christ is its king. And a Christian kingdom will have the sword of vengeance, Romans 13:1-6. He's the one who ordained that, you know. And that nation will be charged with the responsibility to see to it that God's vengeance against evildoers is executed. Oh, yeah. The Islamo-fascists are evildoers, and the world is getting sick and tired of this nonsense. I mean, we're done with it already. I mean, it's time for this to stop. It's time for a Christian nation to take the sword God gave it and execute vengeance against these evildoers, and it's time to do it now. But America is weak because we are under attack from within. And I think we're being purposely weakened. I mean, financially, militarily, everywhere you look at politically, Obama is breaking America. He is reducing our military might and overburdening our financial position to the point of near collapse. Let's just lay out a kind of in-brief assessment of the situation, shall we, financially? You really should listen to James Reichard, and listen closely. He has significant creds in this area, and in his book, The Death of Money, he lays down the facts that compel every thinking person to conclude there is an ongoing effort here to collapse the world's monetary system into the hands of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. He doesn't say that in so many words, but if you put together all that he's laying out, that's the conclusion you'll come to. And the, by the way, the IMF being the only solvent financial institution in the world right now. And they are poised to have the global monetary systems collapse into their hands, out of which will rise a one-world currency controlled by a handful of world leaders, dictators, and kings. Obama's in this game, my friend, make no mistake about that. His policies are driving us toward the collapse of the dollar. Militarily, the notion that America's military might needs to be pared down to a balance of power with other nations, that's an old idea. You go back to Clinton, Carter, and that crowd, it's a very dangerous idea as well. Because the consequence of America becoming militarily weak is exactly what you see developing on the world stage right now. Obama's policies have put us on a course that is weakening America's military might at exactly the same time that his policies are strengthening all of America's enemies around the world. And as Commander-in-Chief, Obama behaves like a novice or like he's on their side. First of all, he funded ISIS, you know, before it was called ISIS. These are the people who were fighting Assad, the so-called Syrian rebels, to whom Obama directed 500 million Federal Reserve notes out of the trillions printed since he became in office. He literally created this monster that is now moving like a scourge across Iraq, taking advantage of the opportunity he gave them when he withdrew our troops prematurely. Next, he announces to ISIS that they do not need to be concerned about America coming back with boots on the ground. I mean, he declares this. He declares his strategy to ISIS. But then he tells us he has no strategy to deal with them. Are you paying attention? Isn't this weird? He goes out there and makes public statements to the effect that effectively outlines for ISIS his strategy. Don't worry about us. No boots on the ground. Limited airstrikes, limited targets. So you get ISIS being funded by Obama, and now he's their greatest source of intel on what America can be expected to do or not do. It's weird. And when we want a strategy for how America is going to respond to this ISIS threat, we don't have a strategy for dealing with ISIS. Well, we obviously do. He declared it already. Meanwhile, Christians are being crucified, beheaded, mutilated, raped, trampled upon while Obama plays golf. Immigration policies are allowing jihadists to infiltrate our country. Hate America as founded politics are fueling young, confused millennials to go join ISIS and then come back as operatives. We know that something like, 50 jetliners have been stolen and plans for a massive assault on America is underway by ISIS. And Obama's policies give the appearance in every way to suggest that he's part of it? What is going on here? Many speculate he's planning on taking advantage of a massive attack that will allow him to declare a national emergency so he can virtually declare himself to be a dictator and continue his presidency. And whatever the case may be, he is the enemy here, either by design or by default, due to his incredible ineptness to handle this job. Either way, Obama is the number one threat to national security today, and I'm not the first one to say that. We need to impeach him, remove him from office, but even then you got Biden doing his bidding, so you have to remove him too, I guess. But here's the thing that must happen. We've got to put a Congress and a Senate in place that will have the courage to do what is necessary to stop this president from ruining this country, to turn this country into the right direction, overwhelming the president's efforts to the contrary. Then, right after that, we need to get a commander-in-chief in place who will put the pedal to the metal on our industry, put policies in place that will free up the entrepreneurial spirit in this country and let the economy roar in a surge of economic growth that will provide jobs for our people and revenues for our government to rebuild our military, and then send the message to Islamic Jihad-headed monsters everywhere, we're coming after you. With all our resources and all our might, we will eliminate you. Prepare to face the wrath of God by the sword of vengeance. Yeah, we're done with this wicked nonsense of killing, murdering, raping, pillaging in the name of your little desert God. Here comes the true and living God. You know, you guys over there, ISIS, you want to draw us back in the medieval times? I'll take it back to biblical times. Hey, it's your God against my God, okay? Let's get it on. I'll be right back. Folks, the Brain Pursuer needs to talk to you about something. I need some help with my radio bill. Call and let me know what you plan to do to help. Call 1-888-770-8000 and tell me what I can expect from you to help us out. Or go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's www.thebrainmassageshow.com. And click on the donate button and make a donation today. Now, I've got too much respect for my audience to beg you for money. And this show's not going to become about, you know, trying to raise money all the time. Some of you give your money to do nothing, say nothing ministries that are actually part of the problem. And what you should be doing is supporting a ministry like this one that is doing something about it. Now call 1-888-770-8000. And look, I'm just tongue-in-cheek here. You know me. You've listened to me for years. If you happen to be one of those who hear this sort of thing and you get offended, You know, you think I'm being too direct, abrupt, or presumptuous, something like that. Relax. Good night. I don't want anything from you. I'm talking to soldiers here. I'm not talking to crybabies. I'm recruiting an army of tough-minded, independent-thinking doers. There's no place on my team for whiners and squishy-headed Christianettes. All right. Enough. But really, seriously, I need my friends to step up and help me address this deficit. So do what you can. I'll be right back.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the Ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the Ark away and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the Ark was for the priests to carry it. He decided to try it again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions. And everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an Old Path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Get ready for your brain massage.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. He's right. As soon as Republicans started focusing on trying to make people like them, they started losing. And not only elections, but their own convictions too. And a whole lot of support, including mine, by the way. I'm talking about Eric Erickson, filled in for Rush recently. I support Rand Paul, Trey Gowdy, and there are several other great Republicans. But I'm just tired of the Christies and the Boehners and that crowd, and I'm really done with this business of transforming the Republican Party into the Democratic Party light. I challenge you to quit being ashamed of what you believe in and start articulating your message in moral terms. The liberals have succeeded at gaining the moral high ground by casting their arguments for their cause in moral terms, unchallenged by the right, who's afraid to speak in terms of morality for some reason. Statements like these express clearly the subtext of virtually all public discourse that you hear from the left. Everyone has a moral right to expect a living wage. Everyone has a moral right to health care. The wealthy are immoral because they have more than they need, while most people around them have less than they need. And I could go on with so many others, but do you remember when the general American public believed in things like every bucket must stand upon its own bottom, or a penny saved is a penny earned, or common sense is genius dressed in working clothes, or content makes poor men rich and discontent makes rich men poor? Or about the price of success is hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and the determination that whether we win or lose, we have applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand? Or how about opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, which is the reason most don't recognize them? Or how about this one? Be the first to the field and the last to the couch. Or diligence is the mother of good luck. Or the harder I work, the luckier I get. Or genius is 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration. Or it's better to wear out one's shoes than one's sheets. Or never put off to tomorrow what can be done today. And well done is better than well said. Or smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. Or do right because it's right to do right. Or do right till the stars fall. Or the best way to dispense with an unpleasant task is to do it quickly and do it well. And one of my favorite German proverbs, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is the best. Now, folks, striving for excellence is the only legitimate strife in life. All else is a waste of time. Anyway, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Remember that one? Hard work never killed anybody. Stuff like that. Oh, how about this one? And let's judge a man by the content of his character and not by the color of his skin. Now, there's one I would recommend to Obama and Holder. The point is, a significant number of Americans have undergone a transformation in core values, from independence to dependence, from a pull-yourself-up-by-your-own-bootstraps mentality to an expectation that others have a responsibility to give you a hand up, from a pioneering attitude of working hard to make much out of little to the attitude of expecting to do little and get much, from a society of producers to a society of takers, from a society that praised success and honored those who worked hard and enjoyed the increase from their labor, and ingenuity to a people who are now suspicious and critical of them, from a people who prize giving to the assistance of others to a society now that expects others to give them assistance. But now many people believe that everyone has the moral right to expect a living wage. Everyone has a moral right to health care. You never heard people talk like that before. Or that the wealthy are immoral simply because they have more. That used to be marginalized communist talk. Now it's becoming general public discourse. Of course, all of these statements are lies. And I can prove it from the Bible. And it's something we'll talk about Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse on September 14th. Friends, you might think I've departed from the theme established in the first segment, but I really have not. I'm right on point. You see, the left has a strategy here. That is the radical Alinsky left. They're busy creating an army of malicious, malcontent ne'er-do-wells who will rise up in revolt against America and bring her crashing to the ground into the hands of these who desire to transform America into a socialist, communist dictatorship. And they will do it. That is, this malicious, malcontent mob will do it, believing they're righteous. Oh, yeah, they're going to riot with abandon in righteous indignation, justifying their pillage and looting and mayhem with liberal slogans of social justice. And it's being done by the left, casting their arguments in moral terms and winning the conscience of so many, so that kids like Michael Brown believe they have a moral right to take what they want from a convenience store because they have been unjustly denied their piece of the dream. In this way, liberals in this country have created and continue to build their own revolutionary army of those who believe rioting is justified as moral outrage against the immorality of income inequality. Watch out. Liberals in America today empower evil. Not only in this, but in every way you can think of, they empower the evil of radical Islam by their policies and their approach to it. They empower the evil of illiteracy by encouraging these ridiculous policies in our education system. They empower the evil of poverty by encouraging a welfare state mentality. Don't you see it? The progressive agenda aids and abets virtually every evil in our culture today. They're Satan's little helpers. The only way to effectively counter this is to appeal to whatever's left of the conscience of our children and the general population. We must cast our arguments in equally forceful moral terms. We must condemn these leftist ideas, not as merely incorrect or wrong-headed or mistaken. We need to counter them as wicked, as sinful, and as what they are, lies. So I must conclude the show today, but consider something. This attack on America is coming from within, and the only reason it is being successful is that good men do nothing. They watch it and bemoan it, but refuse to step up and take action. Now we've got to step up and clearly articulate our values in moral terms. We need to appeal to the conscience of this nation, and the only way you're going to succeed at that is for genuine Bible-believing Christians to return to the old paths of our forefathers and start preaching truth to the lies. We need to speak the truth and shame those who are lazy and willing to live on the dole for years and make it a generational thing. That needs to stop. We need to shame the conscience of those who riot, who steal, who loot, and stop this insanity of excusing this sort of behavior, because, my friend, you've got to know that when you excuse it, you encourage it. Kids that assault police officers must never be allowed to be made out to be heroes, and every decent American should stand up to the Sharptons, the Jacksons, and Obama and Holder et al., and expose them as aiding and abetting wickedness and evil in this country. That's what they're doing. As being on the side of antisocial behavior, destructive to society. Holder should be fired yesterday. Sharpton should be marginalized and ignored for the foolish simpleton that he is. Jackson should likewise be scoffed and scorned as a troublemaker. These people who constantly talk about the white officer who shot an unarmed black kid should be chastised for fomenting discontent, conspiring to encourage riots. They should be seen as what they are, racist bigots. It's not about a white officer who shot a black kid, but it's not about a black man and a white man. You've got to know that's true. It's not about black and white. And those people who keep saying so are the racists. They are the bigots trying to stir up hatred between the races. These are the haters. These are the racists. These are the bigots. And it's becoming increasingly clear they've been working on creating a subculture of malcontents dependent upon them for their meager poverty-level subsistence, all the while stirred to blame society around them for their condition and not look at their own lack of initiative, their own lack of hard work and diligence as the real source of their problems, but encouraged instead by these people to look at those around them with more than they have with wicked envy, which is a sin, by the way. It's a sin. Envy is sinful. It's the sin that crucified Jesus Christ. And it's the sin that's going to destroy this nation. It's the sin these wicked leaders encourage in their army to stir up malicious hatred for America, intending to have them rise up and riot, justified in their own self-righteous bigotry, the bigoted minds, by this distorted, perverse immorality called morality on the left. And why has this happened? Well, frankly, it's because so many of you listening to me have left the Lord's true churches, with some of you supporting churches that do nothing, say nothing, refuse to enter the fray and challenge the evils of the day, religious organizations that focus on keeping you quiet about the real dangers facing our country today, talking peace, peace when there is no peace, self-serving churches that thrive on self-serving Christians. And some of you just don't get it. You're content just to leave the battle to guys like me and cheer me on from the sidelines. Well, it's time to get off the sidelines, get into the fight. We must return to the God of our fathers if you expect him to return to us. It's an old-fashioned recipe. Repent. Turn to God. Do the first works, America. Return to the God of the Bible. I'll be preaching Sunday night, September 14, on the topic, The Lies of the Progressive Movement. Taking truth to the lie, thrusting the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, piercing the conscience with truth, which is the only way to defeat the lies that keep so many bound in darkness, while Satan drags this nation to hell. I got to conclude. I actually did appreciate Biden's latest statements. Something to the effect, we will follow ISIS to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice, and hell is where they will reside. And he spoke forcefully and strong, and I appreciated it. One word of caution to Mr. Biden, however. To the gates of hell is exactly where Obama's policies are leading us in this country, including in his response or lack of response to ISIS. No question about it. Obama is leading this nation to the gates of hell. And I understand Biden's point. I won't take anything from it. And it's a good point. But let me warn you that if we charge the gates of hell without the true church at the point of the spear, those gates are going to open up and swallow this nation down with a gulp, followed by a sulfurous, self-satisfied belch from Satan. Jesus said, and he said it to the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the only institution Jesus Christ appointed that has the power to charge the gates of hell with success. And you've forsaken the church, America. And the Bible that tells us all about hell tells us that the wicked shall be turned into it, and every nation that forgets God. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know that you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying. Lights off if you disagree. You can say they're blinking if you sort of agree. The number is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And you'll leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. If you want me to call you back, let me know. I'd be glad to. It's a free call to everyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can just call and say lights on, lights off, and hang up. But if you take a little time and tell me what's on your mind, I appreciate that. So call or write me today. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain.